are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are. On the Fantasy Sports Network, as the countdown to kickoff is nearly complete. And who better to help us break it down than Teddy. Teddy Covers steps up and Ted Safransky joins us straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll break it down with the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. A little bit of line movement right now. New England Patriots were standing strong at -9 for the last 48 hours or so. We're seeing some 8.5s pop up right now, except it takes pretty big cojones to step up and in and pull the trigger on the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. The New England Patriots were 16-3 against the spread last year, including the Super Bowl, 17-2 outright in their 19 games. 16-3, man, against the spread. That's pretty dominating. Like, we get caught up in Brady's legendary performances all the time, but even from a betting standpoint, 16-3 against the spread, yet that was last year, man. All right, that was last year. We're playing a football game tonight. We're going to find out how good the Kansas City Chiefs are. A lot of people think the Chiefs are due for a big fall right now, a regression. I'm not so sure, man. Andy Reid just basically spits out double-digit wins on a yearly basis. So Ted Safransky is going to help us break it down. We haven't talked a lot of college football on the program this week. We've been so involved with the National Football League, but with only one NFL game on the board this evening, and tomorrow we're going to be all NFL for the most part. It's a good time to break it down. Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello every Saturday morning on a Fantasy Sports everywhere. Fantasy Sports Radio, TV, Dish Network. I join them with my best bets of the week. We've been doing pretty good on the program, actually, through 2 weeks of college football play on the show with Rich and Joe. Only if I would only bet the games that I give them. Yeah, I bet other games, and big downfall. Fortunately, there's only one college football game tonight. It's a piece of crap game, so we're not going to lose money on it. Utah State's laying 30.5 against Idaho State. It's like the NCAA just surrendered tonight. They're like, all right, listen, you know, it's the Patriots, Chiefs. Let's not roll anything out. In past years, man, there was always double headers, triple headers, quadruple headers on Thursday night. They don't care about the NFL. It's college football. But tonight, they seem to have deferred. Utah State and Idaho State, that's such a low-class degenerate game, I don't even have a pick for it for you. Take Utah State. I'll be honest with you, I would take the over, but there was no total posted that I saw this morning. So Joe Lisi is going to talk to college football. And with the start of the National Football League regular season, I'm going to give you my top five best National Football League future bets of the year. All right, we narrowed them down to five. There's a couple others I liked as well, but these are five that I'm going to pull the trigger on that I will bet, and I'll share them with you in a couple of moments' time. So let's step up and in right now as the countdown is nearly complete. We're about to kick things off right now, so I figured it'd be a good time to give you my preseason, pre-kickoff Super Bowl predictions. All right, so I had a hard time coming up with this. You know, I've been kicking the tires on this for a couple of weeks, actually, because I knew this day was coming. But let's cut right to the chase. The New England Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. The New England Patriots are Tom Brady. They're essentially LeBron James, except Brady's, a cut above. But, you know, it's basically the same thing. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 3 years in a row, they're going. Nobody can do anything about it. There's some good teams in the East, but nobody great. Nobody good enough to knock Cleveland off right now. Doesn't mean that Cleveland's going to win when they get there, but that's another story. It's a very similar situation with the New England Patriots right now. I don't see anybody in the AFC that's capable of knocking off the Patriots. It's sort of like Mr. Burns when he blocked out the sun. You know, what are you going to do about it? And, you know, let's go down the list here. The Raiders? I know. Raider Nation saying, come on, man. If Carr didn't get hurt last year, the Raiders could have beaten the Patriots. Yeah, maybe. That was last year. And everything came up silver and black last year for the Raiders. It was a magical year. They were a 12-win football team. We've talked about it a lot. They had a winning margin of +31, which is the lowest for any 12-win football team in the history of the National Football League, all right? So the Raiders are good, but the Raiders aren't Super Bowl good. If you paid attention to that defense, all right? So the Raiders aren't Super Bowl good. The Denver Broncos, the Broncos are good, but is Trevor Siemian winning a freaking Super Bowl? You know, the Denver Broncos aren't the same powerhouse they were from a couple of years ago. Still a good football team, not a powerhouse. I like the Houston Texans, but I can't envision Tom Savage knocking off Tom Brady. You know, we go down the list. Pittsburgh Steelers. I guess you can make an argument that the Pittsburgh Steelers, on paper, they're the most qualified that you could say, you know what, they could beat the New England Patriots. But we say that every year, and it doesn't happen. Tom Brady owns Big Ben Roethlisberger, and the fact of the matter is, Big Ben Roethlisberger, I think he's older than that damn clock is. I think he's older than the real Big Ben is. Big Ben Roethlisberger's like one hit away from retirement, man. They had to talk him into staying this time. You think if he gets severely injured, he's going to go through some like long rehab again? So, you know, I'm not buying in to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, ultimately, it will be the New England Patriots coming out of the AFC. The NFC is a hell of a lot harder. You know, there's 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 teams you can make a legitimate argument for. There's something crazy about that NFC South, in which they just sort of spit teams into the Super Bowl every year that come out of nowhere. Atlanta, Carolina. We saw it with New Orleans years ago. That's going to be a wild ride, the old NASCAR division of the National Football League. But you know, when it's all said and done, to me, I look at the Seattle Seahawks. We got the Seahawks, we got the Packers, we got the Falcons, in my opinion. Dallas Cowboys, they're a lot like the Raiders. Everything went the Cowboys' way last year. They had a great season. I am a big Dak Prescott fan. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are a playoff football team, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl football team. And they're going to be without Elliott for 6 games after all. You know, Dallas are good, but I don't think they're Super Bowl good. I'm buying what Green Bay are selling. I'm a big believer in Aaron Rodgers, even though I've criticized him in the past. But I am a believer. The dude's awesome. And Green Bay are a stacked football team. But ultimately, Green Bay are going to have to get home field advantage to make it to the Super Bowl. And I'm not so sure they're going to be able to pull that off. Because the Seattle Seahawks, schedule is a freaking cakewalk, all right? They have one of the easiest schedules in the National Football League. And it's one of these deals, like the NCAA tournament, it's not always the best team that actually wins. It's the easiest ride. It's like horse racing, all right? It's random. You got to get a clean ride. Everything needs to fall into place. And I think everything can fall into place for the Seattle Seahawks this year. I think they're going to be able to rack up a ton of regular season wins, get home field advantage, and then only have to win 2 games in Seattle, and it's freaking hard to win up there. They know that the window is closing, and I think the Seahawks are going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. But I'm in the minority here. Everybody thinks the Atlanta Falcons were kind of a fluke last year. I don't. I think the Falcons are going to be right back to the big dance. They're just going to have to take care of business along the way. It's going to be a little bit trickier this year. The schedule is tough, but technically they had the hardest schedule in the league last year. What have we seen? We saw Clemson and Alabama play back-to-back championship games. What have we seen in the NBA? Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers have played 3 times in a row. It wouldn't shock me, man, if the Atlanta Falcons played the New England Patriots again. I think the Atlanta Falcons are the real deal. And I'll tell you right now, it's either going to be the Seattle Seahawks at 9-1 or the Atlanta Falcons at 14-1 to make it to the Super Bowl. But we can't just give you 2 teams here because we got to give you a final freaking prediction. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a rematch, but not a last year from a couple of years ago. And this time the Seattle Seahawks won't throw the football from the 1-yard line. They won't have to because they're already going to be leading. And the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson will get redemption and beat the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52. People in Seattle, you guys hate me hardcore. Hate me now. You like that? Seattle wins Super Bowl 52. Game time decisions continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, countdown to kickoff is nearly complete, boys, and I'm fired up for some football. We got Joe Lisi. Joe Lisi is going to talk some college football because we've been so pro-heavy, but we got to get some college in. I'll be joining Joe and Rich Sermonello Saturday morning, my best bets of the week. Tomorrow we're going to be all over the National Football League. We got a game on the board this evening. So we got Ted Safransky, we got Joe Lisi, and I'm going to give you, we're going to do a solo segment a little bit later on. I'm going to give you my top five NFL futures best bets for the upcoming season. But without further ado, let's send it to Las Vegas, Nevada. Ted's Sportsbook and Casino. Ted Safransky, what's going on, Teddy?
NC, what's a good word, my friend?
Always a pleasure, Teddy. Always a pleasure. I'm sorry we couldn't hook up last weekend in Vegas. It was a real quick trip, man. I got there Friday evening. I did the Scotty Farrell show Friday night at the D. Saturday, I went to the Westgate, and then I hit the wall like every other tourist does.
Exactly, yeah. I was supposed to make it down to the D on Friday night. I was hoping to make it down. Didn't end up happening. I got caught into watching college football. You know how it is. And then by Saturday night, yeah, no one was doing anything. as long as you weren't sitting on the couch in the fetal position, you're doing all right.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And there were times at the Westgate on Saturday, you could hear a pin drop. Every time Western Michigan scored, like it wasn't like one of those everyone's having a great day type of feelings in the book. It really wasn't. Everyone, oh, I won. Everyone did great. Listen, I was there, all right? I saw it. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of clapping and high fives going on, Teddy. All day long, it was a pretty depressing place. I got to be honest with you.
And week one, the bookmakers made out like bandits. I mean, when you go through all the biggest line moves, not all, I mean, there were so many big line moves for week one. But when you're talking about the games where the bookmakers were really sided, most of the action was one way. They did pretty well in those games.
They
overall.
Did, too.
Including that USC-Western Michigan game that you were talking about.
Yeah, there was a big lineup of people cashing Alabama tickets after, yet it wasn't a happy line. You know, there's a difference. Like, you know, like I remember when I was young once, I went to a casino. I was a kid, and I'm like 18, 19, and this lady won like $13,000 beside me. And she didn't crack a smile, man, all right? Like, she didn't bat an eyelash and no sign of emotion. And I looked over to her. I was a kid. I'm dumb. I look over, and I go, wow. I said, I'd be so happy if I just won that. She didn't say a word to me, man. And it was an old Asian lady. She just gave me like a death stare. Somebody like gave me an elbow. They said, dude, she's lost about $38,000 in the last 4 hours. Like, so now that was a rookie mistake. You know what I mean? So now it was the same thing. I saw this big lineup, Alabama. Nobody was smiling. People were like, yeah, yeah, give me my Alabama money. You got all my other money today, you know?
Sure, but it's not like there wouldn't have been a lineup if Florida State had, you know, I mean, that was a heavily bet game. So regardless of which side won, there was going to be a line of people cashing tickets. But as you mentioned, not an exuberant line in the sports books last Saturday night. Books made out pretty well in week one of college football.
All right, so we got a tricky football game tonight. It's always tricky to open up the season with these games, like Denver and Carolina last year. So a little bit of line movement, the 9. I'm seeing some 8.5s right now with the Kansas City Chiefs. Something that sort of gets lost, because the Patriots get so much mainstream love, at least Tom Brady and Belichick, et cetera. The fact is, they were 16-3 against the spread last year, Teddy. That kind of flies under the radar.
Well, not here in Vegas, it doesn't. You know, every sportsbook director in town will tell you what the Patriots' ATS record was last year, because week after week, the public loaded up on New England, and week after week, the public won. And all the wise guys who found 56 reasons to bet against the Patriots and found all the value on the other sides, it kept it from being an even worse disaster for the sportsbooks. But, you know, New England Patriots weren't any sportsbook director's friend here in Las Vegas, offshore, wherever you want to go.
That's how the public won last year.
2016.
You're right.
They just took
Dallas and New England every week and rode the Johnny Public wave to glory while all the sharps were making, oh, you can't lay this, and I'll tell you why that, and they kept losing.
Sure. I mean, look, a Starbucks barista won the Super Contest last year. What was he doing? You know, he was betting on the Cowboys, betting on the Patriots, betting against the Browns, betting against the 49ers. And if you did that for like an 8-week stretch midseason, you know, that's 32 potential games. You were like 30-2.
I had a bad contest run last year.
I mean, it was insane.
Because of that. I was wrong. I went down with that. I was the anti-public. Oh, this can't continue. And, you know, I was sort of one of those guys. So this evening, I am in the minority in believing that the Chiefs aren't going to get destroyed tonight. I think the Chiefs can hang around in this football game, but I'm not in a hurry. I can see the Chiefs hanging around and ultimately losing by 10, and he's starting to get screwed over on the play. So I don't think they get blown out, but I can see them losing by 10 or 13 points in this football game. What's your take on this one?
I mean, could you see him winning?
No.
That's the question, because you're not – I don't like to bet NFL underdogs unless I can see him winning. All right?
What's out of a percentage, percentile, what would you say, 10% chance that the Chiefs can win this game outright?
If it's 10% chance the Chiefs to win the game outright, you got to be loading up on Patriots money line. Because the money line doesn't say that.
Patriots are going to be a popular survivor pick tonight.
Sure. And understandably so. They're 50-1 against AFC opponents at home, which is a pretty good stat to be aware of. And that being said, the New England team we're going to see tonight, this is not a finished product. This is a team that underwent massive upheaval in terms of the receiving core. Last year, the offense, and particularly over the back half of the campaign, it was like clockwork. It was dynamic. It was dink and dunk, and Brady dinked and dunked as efficiently as anybody in the NFL. They grind out first downs. They grind out long drives. They used a lot of ball control. He didn't make mistakes. And obviously, it was a good enough factor to cash a whole bunch of point spread tickets and eventually win a Super Bowl. The receiving core has changed this year. I'm not convinced that Brady's going to go in week one and have the same level of chemistry, especially without a guy like Edelman. You know, you talk about Brandon Cooks as being a big play weapon. Great. This wasn't a big play offense last year. It was a dink and dunk offense. What's the strength of Kansas City? It's their defense. You know, we know what the Chiefs offense is going to look like. They're going to try to grind some clock on the ground. They're going to try to run the rookie out of Toledo, Kareem Hunt. They're going to punt a lot and try to play the field position game and rely on that stop unit. So if I'm playing tonight, you know, we have two teams that aren't going to take a ton of downfield shots. I think we might see a relatively low scoring game. It sucks betting unders, man, on these national TV games. If you've been doing it for the last couple of years, you've gotten crushed. They have, you know, the for whatever reason, the TV games have produced more than their fair share of shootouts. But, you know, I don't have a dollar on this game. If I did, I'd be looking at the under. But, no, it's a watch for me. Maybe we'll get involved in-game. But I've got nothing pre-kickoff in my pocket.
I hate betting unders. I had the under in the Michigan-Florida game, 45.5 at the Westgate. It's the worst beat ever. All I needed is I was lucky I survived to get to that late in the game. But all I needed was, like, them, I don't know, not to fumble in the end zone, right? Like, I thought I dodged a million bullets. So did everyone in the book. Like I said, it was a depressing place. I wasn't the only one. Like, it was just like room. Like, I agree with you as far as the dink and dunk process going into tonight. You know, it's very similar, Teddy, to the NBA. Oh, look, the Warriors got Kevin Durant. And remember, the Heat, they got Chris Bosh, they got LeBron James, they got Dwayne Wade. Those teams always sort of struggle a little bit early. Right? They're like, they're not exactly what we thought. And, oh, look, KD's not fitting in. And then, oh, yeah, 4 weeks later, it's like, oh, dear God, these guys are not going to lose another game again. And I see a very similar comparison. There's a lot of talent there, a lot of new guys. But football is a sport of repetition. And it's even harder to drop guys in a process in football than it is basketball. So I see where you're going with that. I can see, and I told people that. The Patriots' offense will be efficient. It's Tom Brady. He's going to get rid of the ball. He's going to do his thing. But I think a lot of people sort of just assume the Patriots are walking off the field from the Super Bowl last year and that offense, and they're going to come out and put up 48 tonight. I don't see that either. I think we're looking at a 24-14, 24-17 style game.
I'm with you 100%. Those, to me, make a whole lot of sense for final scores in this contest. And, of course, remember, what is the you remember?
And the Patriots defense, Teddy. Exactly. Everyone talks about the offense. The Pats defense is awesome.
Yeah, definitely not. But people remember what they saw last. All right, the betting public didn't watch the preseason. Betting public, last thing they remember is New England rallying back from 28-3 and Brady being carried off the field and, you know, Belichick holding up another ring and all of that. That is not where New England is for week one. You know, for Golden State, that was a great analogy with Kevin Durant and the Warriors. They really didn't hit their stride until after the All-Star break, two-thirds of the way through the season. Patriots don't care about winning, being at their, at the top of their game for week one. They want to be at the top of their game for January That's what they're building for. You know, they want to look good. They don't want to stink. But is this a situation where we expect to see a New England team clicking on all cylinders? No, we do not. That's why we lean under in this one.
You know, you and I are the same, Teddy, in which we look for the quotes and like to read between the lines. And you're exactly right. Tom Brady, they said, so how do you feel coming into tomorrow against the Chiefs? He goes, well, tomorrow's just the first couple of steps of a marathon. Right? Like, he's been around. They understand the process. He's not like, oh, we're so excited in this game. He said, no, it's tomorrow's game against the Chiefs, kind of the first steps of what's the marathon of a season. And I think they totally get that. All right, speaking of marathon of a season, man, I think it's going to be a marathon of a season for both Jets and Bills fans this year. Jets and Bills playing each other, both teams coming out onto the field literally believing they have a chance of winning this football game. I've used the analogy all week. You know, I look at the Bills being the biggest favorite on the board this week. It's the same thing as UNLV being 43-point favorites. It's like, man, I don't know if the Bills should be favored at 9.5 points against anybody right now. I mean, like you said, has anyone paid attention to the offseason and the preseason of the Buffalo Bills? And you get the New York Jets. I guess this is the perception of the Jets are just that terrible. But, hey, man, this is a lot of points to be laying with a Buffalo Bill offense that was pretty putrid in the preseason.
For this point spread to make sense, two things have to be true. First, the Bills have to be good enough to beat somebody in the NFL by more than a touchdown. And second, the Jets have to be the single worst team in NFL history. History. Understand where the Jets are being priced. Their season win total is down to 3. All right, I've been in Vegas 20 years. I never saw 3. I never saw 3.5. I talked to Jimmy Vaccaro. He's been in Vegas 42 years. He'd never seen a win total this low on the Jets. So the hatred for the Jets in the betting market, it's vitriolic. They would spit on this team if they could. Okay? There is absolutely irrational exuberance. There is hatred for the Jets in the market. No support for New York. Obviously, a team whose win totals opened at 5.5 and is now at 3. Never seen it. The second part of that equation, the Jets have to be the worst team in NFL history. B, is that the Bills have to be capable of beating someone by more than a touchdown. And if you watch Buffalo in August, there's no way you're going to believe this team's capable of beating anybody by more than a touchdown. Their starting QB has been concussion protocol. He hasn't practiced with anyone. They traded their best receiver. They traded their best defender player. They traded their second best receiver. Every move that Buffalo made in August, and no one was as aggressive as the Bills. Every move they made was, let's look at the future. Let's build towards the future. I don't like this roster. Let's dump veterans. Let's dump salary. This is not a team I want to lay points with, let alone more than a touchdown. And one thing about the Jets that we can say potentially could be a positive. Todd Bowles, a defensive coach. Jets offense is putrid. On paper, it's as bad as any offenses I've ever seen. But that defense might be all right. I might be capable of letting them hang around in games. I'm surprised that the under hasn't been popped in this one. But there's still Buffalo money. Wise guys are still pounding the Bills. Not my money. Jets and under for me.
Yeah. Shh. With the total, I like that under 40. I don't see where the point's going to come from in that football. It'll be a heavy dose of LeSean McCoy. The Bills will grind out a low-scoring SU win. All right, so we've got a couple of minutes here. Let's get to some of the higher-profile games. I haven't talked about this game very much this week. Falcons-Bears, although I have broken it down a bit, seems like a dangerous situation. A team coming off that Super Bowl loss, laying the points. We have Mark Lawrence on earlier. Super Bowl losers opening up the season on the road. Last 17 times, they've only won 2 times. But we discussed that game earlier in the week, unless you got a thought on it. But Seahawks and Packers, to me, this is the funnest game of the week on the board. Seahawks and Packers, really interesting. And two teams that are legitimate Super Bowl contenders, in my opinion. And a big game for home field advantage. Aaron Rodgers has been talking in the entire offseason about how they need home field advantage if they're going to get to the Super Bowl. And Seattle have a chip on their shoulder this year. I paid very close attention to Seattle. I get the Seattle networks at home, Teddy, so I've been watching all the Seahawks preseason games. They're an angry team. They're like dudes in like a prison, like lifting weights, about to get out, and they're like, there's payback coming. Like, I look at the Seahawks, and I'm like, they've got a chemistry. Like, they might not like each other, and they might this and that, but it's like Carroll told them, guys, we got 1 year, we got 2 years. Everyone's laughing at us. They say we suck. They say you're old. They say we're done. Seattle's got a chip on their shoulder this year, Teddy.
Yeah, they do. Just Bears-Falcons real quick. Why is that total still holding? What are we looking at? I see 49 and a half. I see a 50 out there right now. All right, John Fox and 50 don't mesh. All right, let's not forget that Atlanta, their coordinator, Mr. Shanahan, is now the 49ers head coach. And all the talk in Atlanta in the offseason has been, wow, this defense is a lot better than it was last year. So that one certainly stands out to me. I'm shocked that total is held. We're seeing wise guy money as we speak pouring in on the Chicago Bears. I knew that LeSeven wasn't going to hold.
What about Carolina? Sorry, Teddy, but what about Carolina and San Francisco, the total 48? I know last year, okay, San Francisco gave up 30 points a game. They have a new attitude on defense. They have a ton of young talent out there. I don't see that game being a track meet or shootout. Like 48 to me, that was another one that's the total surprised me. I like the under there.
I'm with you 100%. I was reading some great quotes. And again, what's the difference between a professional handicapper and your average Joe? You know, we do a little bit more work. You know, we're reading through quotes. We're trying to find little nuances from beat writers and local papers. And I found some great quotes on the 49ers talking about the complexity of Kyle Shanahan's offense. Remember, Matt Ryan, first year in Shanahan's offense, was not pretty. Second year was when it got really pretty. And basically the quotes were, we don't know what we're doing. it's a very complex offense. And if one player screws up, it screws up the whole play. And there are going to be issues. When you're reading between the lines of those quotes. I don't know where the 49ers get points from in that one. I really don't. And, you know, Carolina, gee, your starting quarterback didn't play for the entirety of the preseason or for most of the preseason. It's not like Cam Newton's going to come into this game in midseason rhythm either. So I'm with you on the under for that game. Real quick, Seattle, Green Bay. Seahawks plus points, tends to interest me as a concept. And, of course, remember, we talk about, where are teams now compared to they were at the end of last year. Packers, mediocre first half of the season last year, turned it on down the stretch. Huh? Here's the first half of the season. They're not in midseason form yet. I would take Seattle before I laid with Green Bay.
Teddy, Ted Safransky. You can find him over at sportsmemo.com. He's one of the cover's experts. You can watch his daily videos with Paulie Howard over at SBR Picks, sportsbookreview.com. Teddy's all over the place, and he'll be kicking it with me in the late night hours on a podcast. Always a pleasure, Teddy. May the winners
be
yours.
I'm looking forward to it, Gabe. Should be a lot of fun.
There's Ted Savransky with us. All right, we got Joe Lisi coming up next. We're going to shake it up. You know what? I should just throw Joe a curveball, but Joe's very businesslike, all right? Him and Rich, these guys are straight arrows. But instead of talking college football, I should just go through the list. So, Joe, Saints, Vikings, breakdown, what do you got? Well, Gabe, I thought we were talking about Ohio State and Oklahoma. All right, Joe Lisi coming up next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. You know what else is on the Fantasy Sports Network? College football today, every Saturday morning. But before we bring Joe Lisi in, let us remind you to go over to rotoexperts.com where the best fantasy experts live. rotoexperts.com/discount. Promo code RAGE. Promo code RAGE. RAGE. Promo code RAGE. Get 10% off. It's going to help you win DFS, help you win your fantasy leagues, help you with waiver wire pickups. You got the full stable of Roto experts and their premium analysis, not the stuff that's going out to the riffraff. You get the premium stuff, 10% off, promo code RAGE. All right, speaking of premium content, nobody breaks college football down like Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello. I join them every Saturday morning with my best bets of the week. Our picks have been doing okay on the program. But the first 2 weeks of the season, we were on the road. We had that big fantasy football convention, and we, you know, we were on at the same time as we had to go. Last week, we did the hit from Palace Station, and unfortunately, I like Palace Station Hotel. And I actually got a, I got an email from them today. They said, "Hey, Gabriel, how was your experience at Palace Station?" I'm gonna say, "I like your establishment, but, you know, why does it take 30 minutes to get a taxi to a Vegas casino? Makes no sense. And secondly, get some new phones. You guys got the same phones from like 1976 when the place opened, man. But other than that, great place. But I'm going to be locked down in studio via Skype, joining Joe and Rich this Saturday morning on the Fantasy Sport Television Network. Joe, always a pleasure. How you doing?
I can't wait for this weekend, Gabe. Love having you on the show. And we're going to be hunkered down together because there's some great games front and center stage this coming Saturday.
Yeah, you know, and I apologize. I can hear you and Rich fine, but I couldn't hear the operator. I couldn't hear the cues. You know, I was on an old school rotary phone in a hotel room, and it was kind of tough. But I'm excited to be back, actually, and get this thing locked down. So let's jump in right now to the big games of the week. Let's not waste any more time. Auburn and Clemson. Big game. Clemson have beat up on Auburn the last few times they played, and they've beaten three straight times. This is a massive game, especially with DeAndre Francois and FSU getting punched in the mouth, Francois's injury. People sort of forgot about Clemson. Said, well, you know, it was great, but they lost a lot, and they're not going to do it again now. But FSU's loss really opens up the door for Clemson and even into the general rankings and polls as well. Clemson wins this game. People are talking about Clemson as a legitimate contender again. Auburn wins this game, and people are saying the Auburn Tigers are back. It's a big football game.
It really is, Gabe, and I really like Clemson in this matchup. You mentioned that they defeated Auburn three straight times. They've won those games by 9 points per game. Their offense last week against Kent State with Kelly Bryant put up over 600 yards of total offense. Defensively, they only allowed 120 total yards, 119 rushing yards, and only one passing yard to Kent State in that ballgame. I think that's the difference going up against Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham passed for 183 yards through the air last week. They had 500 yards of total offense. But over the last 27 games, Auburn only has one game where they passed for over 300 yards. It came in 2015 against Ole Miss. I think it's a tough task. This is the biggest landscape that Jarrett Stidham's played in, and I like that secondary of Clemson going up against Auburn. I think this is a big-time game, and I think Clemson wins this ball game by 13 points or more.
You know, I've often picked on camera twos, Drew's Clemson Tigers, but I took them plus the points against Alabama, and we won. But with that being stated, I think the Tigers, and I mean the Clemson Tigers, are in a good spot here. The number is very favorable as well. The public's buying into this. I got a little bit tempted. I like where Auburn's going. And at the end of the year, Auburn, Joe, they're going to be playing in a big-time bowl game. All right? They're probably going to be a 9-win team. Hell, maybe a 10-win team. Most likely a 9-win team. But Jarrett Stidham's only been there for one game. And, yeah, they put up 538 yards against Georgia Southern. This is going to be a hell of a lot tougher. You know, people always talk about the quarterbacks always. So, yeah, Deshaun Watson's gone, but that defense is so fast. They're so stacked. They're so loaded. Death Valley's a tough place to play on a Saturday night. The point spread is more than favorable at 5 points. I'm going to agree with you, Joe. Let's take the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah, I agree with that, Gabe. And you look at the secondary of Auburn. Over the last six games last year, they allowed 265 passing yards to opposing offenses. They were 500 at 3-3 overall. They played Georgia Southern, which was a triple option attack, and really did not get any repetitions in terms of pass coverage. Now they're going up against a wide-open Clemson offense. I think that's the difference as well. Look for Clemson's offense to exploit the secondary of Auburn in this matchup.
All right, we've only got about 4 or 5 minutes and three more games I want to get to, so let's pick up the pace. Georgia, Notre Dame. It's too bad Eason got hurt last week against App State. You know, I thought Georgia, you know, had a shot coming in here, and they might still have a shot, actually. I'll ask you here. Jake Fromm gets the call. The kid's a young guy. He came in. He looked good against App State. This is a big test for him going into South Bend on a Saturday night. It's going to be a crazy Saturday night. Every network's got their big high-profile game going on. Notre Dame, very impressive against Temple. What's your take on Georgia? And do it fast so we can get to Stanford, USC, and then the big one Sooners, Buckeyes.
I think it's Georgia's rushing attack of Sony Michel and Nick Chubb that pounded the rock for 221 yards last week. I think they get a double-digit victory over Notre Dame on the road.
Ooh, double digits. I like your boldness here, Gerona. I like where you go with this, though. Nick Chubb's still the best player on the field. I know the Wimbush looked good last week, but you have SEC talent. Nick Chubb's still the best player, and it's a nice combo, 1-2, that they have here with Sonny Michel. I think Fromm can do enough as well. I'm tempted by the points. Joe, we're going to agree again, and we don't always agree. Stanford, USC, man. So if the Western Michigan Broncos rush for 263 yards, is it 63? 63. I'm getting old, Joe. I got problems with six and eights. 263 yards on USC. You know, what's Stanford going to do to these guys? What do you make of this one? Stanford coming off a bye week, too.
Yeah, I think the speed of USC is the difference, and the bye week could be beneficial or detrimental, especially when you look at offensive line continuity and quarterback-to-wide receiver relationship. I think that's the difference at the early part of the season. It's not later in the year, the bye week. I think Sam Darnold and the speed of USC is the difference. I'm calling for a convincing USC victory, 45-24. I like the over as well.
Yeah, this is one where I will disagree. I think USC are overhyped. I think they're always overhyped. Sam Darnold, two interceptions last week, quarterback rating a 71. Looks like the kid's feeling the pressure a little bit of being a big man on campus and having his Heisman target on his back. Stanford Cardinal, 12-3 against the spread the last 15 times they've gotten points in a football game. Keller Chris still hasn't lost as a starter yet. Ed McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey. Dylan McCaffrey and next Michigan quarterback, they're all good. But you know who else is good? Bryce Love, 180 yards against Rice. I hear where you're going. I like the team speed of USC too. But when I'm getting points here with a blue-collar team, I got to pull the trigger with a Stanford Cardinal plus the points. And finally, in closing, Oklahoma and Ohio State. I was thinking all along Ohio State will beat them up again. Now the game's coming closer, and I'm starting to drink some Sooner Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Baker Mayfield. Keep an eye out for Mark Andrews, the H-back. 7 receptions, 134 yards, and a touchdown. If Richard Lego put up 410 yards on that defense, so can Baker Mayfield. Upset City, 27-20. Oklahoma wins this ballgame.
Ooh, that's upset and lower scoring, because I think this game's actually going to be a track meet. That's the key to me. Can JT Barrett and the Buckeyes offense go up and down the field? The thing is, can a rookie coach and Lincoln Riley actually beat Urban Meyer? Urban Meyer 61-7 straight up in non-conference games. Is Meyer really going to lose? All right, we got 1 minute here, so I got to be quick. My upset special of the week, and I'll share it again on Saturday morning with you guys, and I'll have a couple other fresh ones. San Diego State's going to beat Arizona State. Great call by you last week with the Aggies and New Mexico State getting the number against ASU. Man, they threw for 398 yards. They rushed for another 151. I think the wrong team's favored. I think the Aztecs win this game outright.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Rashad Penny. He rushed for 197 yards on the ground and a blue-collar physicality on the offensive and defensive lines for the Aztecs. Love Rocky Long as a coach. They get this upset in Tempe.
All right, check out Joe, Rich Sermonello, 9 a.m., Fantasy Sports Network. I'll be joining the boys twice throughout the program with my Saturday's Best Bets of the Day. Always a pleasure, Joe.
Love the show, Gabe. Can't wait for Saturday.
Joe Lisi with us. We come back with my Best Bets for the upcoming NFL season.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does the countdown to kickoff. So it's now officially the time. I put a lot of work into the National Football League this offseason and this summer. We did our team-by-team previews. After we did our team-by-team previews, I sort of revisited them. I followed the preseason extensively. So I've compiled my top five best future bets for the upcoming National Football League season. So let's get down to business. Start off with the Arizona Cardinals. Now, they're in no particular order here. These are the five futures that I will be playing. But I gave Arizona earlier, and I gave Arizona at the IFBC as a best bet, and I have not wavered. I like the Arizona Cardinals to win more than 8.5 games this year. I think the total is too low. It's 8.5 minus 135. They have an elite defense, guys. They led the league in sacks last year, all right? They have a top 10 defense both against the run and against the pass. You know, they're impossible to pass against, actually. They gave up like 204 yards a game on the ground. They gave up less than 100 yards a game. Less than 200 in the air, less than 100 on the ground. They led the league in sacks, and they were banged up, and they had a lot of injuries last year. They have a very, very easy schedule as well. They take advantage of this division that they play in. They went 4-1-1 in the division last year in what was a so-called down year. David Johnson might be the best running back in the National Football League. Carson Palmer last year, he had dead arm. He got a little tired. There were a lot of injuries around the entire team, including with Bruce Arians. Last five games of the year, Carson Palmer, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He had a great off-season workout regimen in which he didn't work out. He worked out, but he didn't throw a football. He's got a lot more zip on his arm right now. Expect Carson Palmer to have a big bounce-back year this year. They've got a very favorable schedule as well. And I'll tell you what, I think the Arizona Cardinals have a great shot of opening up the season with a 3-0 record before they even start playing some of the easier games that are on their schedule. Listen, they opened up against the Detroit Lions. It's a winnable game. It's not an easy game, but it's a winnable game for them. Week two, they go into Indianapolis. I don't think Andrew Luck's going to be playing anytime soon, guys. All right, so Andrew Luck's probably not going to be playing in week two. Arizona and Bruce Arians, and Bruce Arians' homecoming in Indianapolis, he's not losing to Scott Tolzien, all right? Then in week three, they get the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. It's going to be a big game. Cowboys without Ezekiel Elliott Monday night in Arizona. The place is going to be a madhouse. Boom, San Francisco week four. They could legitimately 4-0 going into that Philadelphia game. I think 8.5 is much too low. I like this one a lot. This is probably the best one on the board of them all, but big, big fan of Arizona this year. Love the over 8.5 wins. All right, let's our second future, the Chicago Bears. Under 5.5. And I'm not here to really rip the Bears. The Bears do have some talent, but you look at the Bears' schedule, man, and I don't know where the wins are coming from. Like, I really don't know where the wins are coming from here. Let's look at the Bears' schedule, all right? They host Atlanta, lose. At Tampa, lose. Host Pittsburgh, lose. Are they beating Green Bay in Green Bay? No. Are they going to beat the Vikings? Yeah, I don't know. That's a Monday nighter. Maybe. Probably not. No. At Baltimore, no. Versus Carolina, no. They're not beating the Saints. They're not going to beat the Packers. The Lions, maybe. At Philadelphia, no. Like, legitimately, the first game of the year that the San Francisco 49, that the Chicago Bears will not be underdogs in, will be against the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday, December the 3rd. Like, it's a killer schedule for the Chicago Bears. And let's be brutally honest here. Mike Glennon's terrible, all right? Mike Glennon's terrible. They overpaid for him. You would have been better off just starting Sanchez and then just putting Trubisky in there after a couple of weeks. Trubisky looked good in the preseason. So there is some optimism moving forward. Jordan Howard is the guy's a great running back, all right? Where are the other weapons? Okay, Meredith is hurt. Your starting wide receivers are Kevin White and Kendall Wright. This thing is a fragile and shaky operation. The schedule is a killer. I'm going under. I don't see how this team gets to 6 wins this year. And I think John Fox is a hell of a coach too, but he's in a tough situation. So the Bears are opening up the season against the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of people talk about the post Super Bowl hangover and the curse and stuff and all that. I'm not buying in. And even if the Atlanta Falcons regress a little bit, the win total is only 9.5. I don't get this number. They have too much talent just to disappear. The Atlanta Falcons' defense has been improved. They did a good job in free agents. They did a good job with the draft. The offense is going to be an explosive one once again. I like what Sarkisian and aggression he's going to bring to the table. I don't think there's going to be any drop-off because Kyle Shanahan isn't there anymore. Julio Jones, 100% healthy right now. They play against the AFC East. All right, so they get the Bills, they get the Jets. You really think the Bills are beating them? You think the Bills are going into Atlanta and beating them in week four? I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. No, they're not. All right, you think the Jets are beating the Falcons this year? No, they're not. You know, they have a lot of winnable games on their schedule, even though they will have a target and they're playing in a lot of primetime games and stuff like that. I don't see how they don't get to 10 wins. Now, I will say, the division that they play in is a very good one this year. The NASCAR division is a good one, and they're going to beat the crap out of each other. But even with that being stated, I think the Atlanta Falcons probably win 11 games this year. It wouldn't shock me if they were a 12-4 football team. I think the 9.5 is way, way, way too low. Houston Texans. Here's another one. The Houston Texans have been 9-7 three consecutive years. So you're telling me that the Texans can go 9-7 without J.J. Watt and with Brock Osweiler as their quarterback, but now they're worse? Like, okay, how? All right, Tom Savage. Listen, Tom Savage is no Tom Brady, and I've been critical of Tom Savage. I've even mocked Tom Savage in the past, but hey, I'll give the guy credit where credit's due. He's worked his ass off. He completed 75% of his passes in the preseason. He understands the system. And like O'Brien said, Deshaun Watson looked great, but Tom Savage has done everything we asked him to do. He said the kid hasn't missed a pass in preseason in training camp type of deal. I like the Houston Texans to go over 8.5. And since we're on the clock right now, I'll be quick and I'll tell you, I like the Minnesota Vikings to go over 8.5 as well. They've got an elite defense. Sam Bradford's playing the best football of his career. I like the addition of both Murray and Dalvin Cook. It's just, you know, we know the defense is going to get it done. It's a manageable schedule. They're better than the Lions. They're better than the Bears. That's 3-4 wins automatically right there. They match up well with the Packers. The real question with the Vikings is, can Stephon Diggs step up? Can Laquon Treadwell actually become a legitimate NFL wide receiver? If they can, then the Vikings might be a 10 or 11 win football team. But the Vikings are a dangerous team. Zimmer's one of the best coaches in the league. I think the win total is too low at 8.5. Give me the over with the Minnesota Vikings. And I love the Jets at under 5.5, but everyone's betted down to 3.5 right now. There's no value on that, even though the Jets will probably win less than 3.5 football games.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turn fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
It's time for our plays of the days. The countdown to kickoff is nearly complete. All right, we've got the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots on the board. It's an incredibly tricky game. Nobody's getting rich getting in front of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick right now. Last year, they were 17-2 straight up, including the Super Bowl win, and they covered 16 of the 19 games they played in 16-3 against the spread. Yet, Andy Reid is 11-3 against the spread in his career when getting 8 or more points, and they're getting 8 or more points this evening. I don't want to force a pick, but we're going to force a pick. Let's tease the Kansas City Chiefs to plus 16 and under the number. I think it's going to be a little bit of a lower scoring game than people believe. I think the Patriots offense will be a little bit chunkier. I don't think they're just going to, you know, come off. It's not last year's team. They got a lot of new bodies here. Patriots probably win this game like 24-17, 24-14. I think the Chiefs will hang around, but the Patriots might cover. That's why I'm going to tease it so I don't get screwed. Tease the Chiefs to the under. I'm going under 24 in the first half. Some props, Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends in the league, over under 4.5 catches. I think he gets 5 or more this evening. Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan became one of Brady's favorite targets in the playoffs last year. Without Edelman, expect Hogan's status to elevate. I love it at 3.5. Mike Gillisley. Mike Gillisley's been banged up, man, during the preseason and training camp. He hasn't really earned a lot of love from Belichick. You've got Deion Lewis. You've got Burkhead. You've got White. I'm not so sure he's going to get that many touches. He might poach a touchdown or something like that, but I don't know if he's going to be able to get 46.5 yards. Let's go under. And you knew we weren't going to take the under in the long field goal prop. Santos Gostkowski, we can get it done. May the winners be yours.